Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So hi everybody, welcome to the Tuesday Night Jaw End of Year Awards edition. As I walk away from my son's wooden zebra chair where the recorder is perched.
Oh, yours is a zebra.
Yeah, you're here. You'll hear my boy and my wife running around because it's not bedtime yet and we've got to get this recorded. So, apologies for the sound of my son having the time of his life outside of this room while the three of us sit in this room miserable talking about right now. We're not miserable.
It does feel a bit like we've been put in the naughty step and all the fun's happening outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, Tuesday Night Jaw, welcome. We're on the Distraction Pieces Network. Check out everything on that because it's all lovely. I'm Jim Smallman. You've heard my voice before. You've heard the other two lads' voices before. You've just heard Chris Brooker, who is always here for these their awards. And you will shortly hear the whispering, snooker-like commentary tones of Matthew Taylor Francesca Obama Richards.
Hi.
If you're going to get that close to the recorder, you need at least to buy a drink first.
I mean, it's just even more worrying that... So the zebra chair is a chair that has a zebra head on, but it looks like the zebra's doing like a poltergeist slash like possessed turn of the head.
Because his head's the wrong way around, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
weird.
He's got a lion chair as well. I think we found him in a skip.
Either that, or he's like contorted his legs behind his body and is sitting like belly up at us. Either way, it's disturbing.
It's the kind of zebra... We should point out it's not, you know... I say anatomically correct. It's not a... It's a caricature of a zebra, and it looks like the kind of zebra face you'd see on a mask of someone in The Purge.
Brilliant. That's the setting. That
my son's giant Hot Wheels garage.
Dude, it's just the greatest thing in the world ever. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Just play with that later.
Yeah.
So anyway, you guys voted. Loads of you voted, just like you did last year. I've spent today, when not chasing my son around in the couple of days I'm at home before I have to go to Phoenix, I spent today counting the votes up. Right. Some categories, really close.
Yeah.
Some categories, not close at all.
Shocking.
Some things, I'm going to make an apology now. Progress features a little bit in things we're going to talk about, which... I think if this was a podcast that I wasn't on, probably wouldn't be necessarily as definitive a case as it is, because I know that a lot of people who listen to this happen to also watch Progress, so that often colours your viewpoint outside of WWE stuff.
Oh, that's great.
So that's me apologising for things I've done this year getting votes on my own podcast.
Okay.
I feel weird about it.
In the same vein, I should probably then apologise because there's going to be loads of Future Shock stuff because I'm on this podcast.
I'm not apologising for anything. I'm probably the one that should apologise for the most.
Let's not bring up your rap sheet.
I sent you them lyrics in private, Jim. Okay, and my grime career will take off in 2019.
There were some brave rhymes on there.
There was.
Do you know what I've started doing recently? What I'd like to know from everybody is what radio station do you listen to if you're in a car? What radio station do you listen to? Because I'm 40 years old, so I'm too old for Radio 1.
Mm.
I'm too young for Radio 2.
Mm.
so I can either listen to Absolute, which has good presenters like Frank Skinner and Jason Manford, but fairly terrible music, or I can listen to Six Music, which has one in every 10 songs will be absolutely brilliant. Five out of every 10 songs will be just terrible, just wet wuss rock.
I mean, you should just probably grow up and stop listening to angsty teenage shouty music.
No,
has anyone told you about Spotify?
I mean, I've got Apple Music, but I just sometimes specifically when my wife's in the car.
You're trying to talk to a man that ironically, with air quotes, that used to listen to Alex Jones. He's the amount of times I've been sat in his car and he made me listen to the insanity that was for 3 to 4 hours. I lost my mind.
So the legit reason I listened to him was, I feel I always have to apologise for it. It's one of those things that I worry that one day I'm going to be crossing a border and someone's going to go through my phone and go, Have you listened to Alex Jones? I'd have to go, yeah, I did a little bit. I went through a phase of listening to him because, as discussed on this podcast before, he's insane.
Yes.
He's absolutely bonkers. And he's a snake oil salesman who disguises all of his selling of his terrible wares with ill-thought-out conspiracy theories and very few apologies. Which is one of the reasons he's got no money anymore.
Is this Alex Jones or your career?
No, it's Alex Jones. Oh,
all right, of course.
I've never sold vitamins to anybody. Until now. Now you know I am.
Get your distraction pieces. Fucking vitamins. Full of vitamin pip.
The herbal non-brand Viagra coming up.
But the reason I say it is
It will be coming up.
Shut up.
I like listening to Six Music. But my problem with this is...
Oh, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, radio stations. Right, just tweet us what radio station you listen to. Right. I know for a fact that Matthew will now claim that he listens to some kind of pirate radio station that you can only hear within quarters of a mile around his house.
I'll answer honestly. I listen to Smooth FM, and that's not a joke. It's great.
The only thing I'm holding that I could drop is my MacBook, and I'm not doing it.
Why?
But I want to drop something out of the shop.
It's cushion.
It's great. Yeah, like, especially get it away.
There we go.
Because especially on Sunday when they're like, on like Sunday night, when they get like, it gets like,
I bet every Sunday they play Easy Like Sunday Morning.
That's exactly what they do, and it's great. And that, but later on, like, they get the presenters in that have that, you know, that really like, hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Smooth Drive Time Hour. We're going to sit back, relax, and we're going to play some tunes, and then they'll play like Easy Like Sunday Morning or. Usually, like something like Barry White or whatever.
I was led to believe there'd be a wrestling podcast.
Nah,
fuck it. You've never listened to this before.
Yeah.
No, I just got really angry the other day about people on Six Music. It's the only radio station where people still go, oh, it's out on this label. No one cares. And also, it's the only radio station where, and this is, it will lead into something later on because I need to mention one of the emails. It's the only radio station where everybody who texts in or rings in desperately tries to prove that they are the nerdiest person about music.
Yeah.
Are they the ones who ask a question, but it's like they've written the essay and then put, don't you agree?
So they'll be on with like Mark Radcliffe and he'll go, so what's the last gig that you went to? And they'll go, well, I've been to 289 gigs this year, but clearly the best one I went to was just like, I just saw a busker on the streets of Cockermouth, and honestly, I just want to say Cockermouth.
Vince Cockermouth. I think I might have done a show in Cockermouth.
I've definitely gigged in Cockermouth, and I think you have as well.
I don't think I have.
Sure.
So there was a period.
I'm certain I haven't.
There was a period in time where, admittedly, I might have been quite depressed. I came up with the idea that I wanted to visit every funny named town that sounded like either genitalia or a sexual innuendo in the whole of the UK. And like, I legitimately got as far as, this was like before Google Maps was like proper prominent as well, where I like legitimately did some research and there was some really funny ones. Like, so there's that. It was a dark time. I was bored.
That's a special level of boredom.
Yeah.
But part of me just wants to applaud you for it.
I know.
Did you have Westwood Ho on the list?
Let's add it in.
whenever I have to drive back to Leicestershire to see my family, I have to drive, part of it's down the A5, and there's a village called Willie, and I will laugh at it every. I will shout the word Willie as I drive past the sign. 40 years old.
I still chuckled when Blabham Rovers signed David Goodwillie. Because the irony was he wasn't
and his
very
cousin,
good.
And his cousin Stevie Badpenis.
All right, so you've not done Cockermouth. Have you played Penistone?
Yes, I have played Penistone.
Yes.
Or Penis Town, as I like to
Penis
call
Penis Tone.
As you like to call it. Are you a smooth FM presenter? Hello, ladies and gentlemen, my name's James Mormon. We're taking you down to Penis Town.
I mean, you definitely would have listened to some CC Penistone on smooth FM, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Nice.
What radio station do you listen to, Chris?
Classical FM.
I do. Classic FM. It's relaxing.
No, it's yeah. not. Because, like...
I don't give a shit if it's relaxing for you. If you're stressed, you're fine. If I'm stressed, we die.
What
I'm the one driving.
What you don't realise is, like, we'll be listening to some, like, really, like, nice, slow thing. And then, like, the Lone Ranger, like...
Do you mean the William Tell Overture?
There you go. That'll start. Whatever it is. Like,
that cowboy stuff.
You are a filler, Scott.
But that'll start playing, and you start driving faster because you're getting into it. Like, we're buggered if Dan Busters hits. Like, we're off. You know what I mean? I don't know any classical music other than... I know Volta's entrance music is
Dvorak.
Dvorak's ninth?
Yes.
Symphony? There yes. it is. That's the word I couldn't say.
It's not the whole of the Ninth Symphony. It's part
no,
of it.
It's the best bit.
Yeah. It's literally...
The,
yeah.
the bit you remember.
It's the money shot of that scene.
It's like it's like The Chain by Fleetwood Mac. Like, yeah. The only good bit of The Chain by Fleetwood Mac is... I like Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, thanks. Rumours.
Great
playing
album.
Air bass at the same time.
That's only marginally harder than actually playing bass. Marginally easier.
Anyway, let's do the awards. So, what I'm going to do is... These guys aren't aware of the prize winners of the awards. Mm-hmm. I am, because I totted up the vote today. What I'll do is I'll give you the top three... Right. And we will discuss them as we go through. The categories that we got you guys to vote on was Male Wrestler of the Year in both WWE and non-WWE category. Same for Female Wrestler of the Year. We also had Match of the Year, again, WWE, non-WWE. Show of the Year, again, WWE, non-WWE. And we asked for you to give us some more names to go in the Hall of Fame, of which we're going to add another five people to the Tuesday Night Jaw Hall of Fame.
Christ!
One of whom I can't actually remember is in our own Hall of Fame or not. The other four definitely aren't.
Right, can we just clear this up? Viscera is not going in twice.
No, Viscera's already in. He doesn't get to come out until he goes in the WWE Hall of Fame.
He's in there, he's blocking it like Snorlax.
Someone put a GIF up the other day of how quick he could get out of a ring.
Yeah?
He could get out of a ring quick.
Old Nelson, what an athlete.
Apparently a lovely fella as well.
Yeah, no,
everyone talks about him. Good. Anyway, let's kick things off.
Bang!
WWE Male Wrestler of the Year. We have a tie for third.
Okay.
For this.
Okay, okay.
So in third place, tied, is the Bruiserweight Pete Dunne.
Fair.
And Johnny Gargano.
I thought you were saying Johnny Satan then.
Not a wrestler.
Four-man fatal match.
So, I love both of these blokes. I think Pete is one of the finest wrestlers in the world, and I think Johnny has had some fantastic matches this year, which we'll get to in a while. And has kind of... I think the interesting thing with Johnny is how he has reinvented himself from his... He was great on the indies, but he would never want to talk to or have much of a personality. And now, like, while still not being someone who talks loads, has managed to get both as a babyface and as the persona he's got now, managed to get that personality over. I mean, Pete's Pete. I don't think we need to elaborate much more on Pete. I do also think that if Pete was full-time in... I mean, it's different now, but obviously for all of 2018... he was still doing indies, so I think some people, like last year, we had the same thing. Pete didn't do particularly well in either category because people didn't know if
he was
doing
neither fish nor fowl. Correct. He was the Ric Flair of indie wrestling.
Yes. Your thoughts on Peter and Johnny?
But Johnny's an interesting one, because when he... I'll tell you what it was. Yesterday, there was a video clip of unlike the tag team partners that popped up on the WWE Facebook page. And they had sort of clips of Baron Corbin and Rhino knocking off Gargano and Ciampa in the Dusty Rhodes Classic from a couple of years ago. And it's so easy to forget that initially, that's what they were. The Gargano and Ciampa were really kind of just there to make up the numbers and sort of just be an interesting team. And the fact that they're now in those few years have gone from being just there to sort of tick boxes to being the backbone of NXT in many ways last year. Mm. And it's what you're saying about his development. It's interesting to see that folk go, and when they're challenged, they have to rise to it. And I think you find a lot in the indies that if you can avoid doing the stuff that you're not necessarily comfortable with, no one's going to make you. Mm. Whereas you go to NXT or WWE or some company like that, they will push you, and then it brings the best out of them, as it did with these guys.
I love how pensive Matthew is looking right now.
I think he's thinking about Smooth FM again.
I think they're both really good choices. Pete's had...
Just so you know, like, fourth was AJ Styles.
Yeah.
So I think we get the demographic of our listeners.
I think what's interesting about Pete is that it's one of the things of... I don't know if he's improved in-ring, because, like, how much more improvement can you have when you're that good? But he's become this... like, different entity. Like, there's something really special about him, especially within that, like, landscape of WWE and NXT and NXT UK and every other sub-brand. But it's that, like, thing. I think what's been really cool is seeing him go from the guy that was sort of tearing up the indies to being the focal point of a new brand, the guy that, like, main-evented the Royal Albert Hall, you know, the guy that's held that title for over 600 days. Like, he's becoming a special wrestler, which is something, again, that probably we're all very unshocked by, but it's still delightful to see, and he's still absolutely phenomenal. And I the thing I still adore about Pete is you'll be on a show anywhere in any country, and everyone will have reactions, but Pete has a full-on, like, rock star reaction. Like, there's a different level of reaction when Pete comes out. This sounds like it might be a slight, but the only thing I can compare it to is when Randy Orton's music hits, because I think I said to you, because we went to a SmackDown taping, and I never quite got Randy Orton fully until I heard Randy Orton's versus hit, and then the reaction. I was like, wow, that's like completely something different.
Orton, the point I got Randy Orton was a house show in Nottingham maybe a year or 2 years ago, and parking my car, and a little kid running up to me going, "I'm going to see Randy Orton," and I remember thinking, cool, and then seeing 4,000 kids lose their mind when he comes out, because he is like Cena, he's a walking superhero.
Yeah, and then what's interesting is Pete's getting that reaction from growing men and women and everyone else. Like, that's what's incredible. But yeah, I mean,
can I go off on a small tangent here? I want to remind you something, because this is something I was discussing with Stevie recently, my housemate. As we drove home on New Year's Eve past the Irish Club in Manchester, and Stevie went, "Oh, I went to a show there with Great Bear," and it was 5 years ago, because I went and looked up in Cage Match. I think I sent you the link as well, Jim, just to say, imagine how much this show would cost. And I believe that was 12 people there.
I was one of the said 12 people, yes.
Yes, indeed. So it's a bit like, it could be like...
I was also meant to go to that show and then was ill.
Oh, that's weird.
I would have swelled
the crowd. I was talked out of going to that show, and I feel very sad.
So on that card was Tony Storm versus Nixon Newell.
Mm-hmm.
There was Tyler Bate versus Josh Bowden, which was the first match that didn't have a referee for the first 3 to 4 minutes, because referee Dez, bless him, he's a good lad, was in the toilet and actually came through the door to the Working Men's Club doing his trousers up. Sam Bailey was on that show, and then the main event was... The main event included Flash Morgan Webster, Marcel Bartel as then Axel Dieter Jr., who I believe was Great Bear champion at the time.
At the end,
I think. He won the Great Bear title.
Damon Lee. Damian Dunn.
Yeah.
Chris Brooks.
Yeah. Sexy Kev. Yeah. It was the most random match. And a really fun little bit. We'd been on a night out the night before. And Flash, I hope he doesn't mind me telling this story, came out, because we were sat front row, because, I mean, there was only one row. And
you were sat row.
Yeah, and Flash was like, just had a conversation with me about the night out before. Someone's car got clamped or so.
Nixon's car got clamped.
So he's just stood on the apron waiting to be tagged in, going, oh, mate, you should have seen what happened last night. And he's like, hang on a second. Comes in, like, ends the rest of the match, comes back out. It was one of the bizarrest experiences. That was that was the first time Great Bear finished, so I hadn't even started working for them, because I worked for them in the second incarnation of them. But yeah, that was a random show.
Just imagining how much... I mean, that was only... When you think about it, it seems like so long ago, but 5 years isn't that long.
Yeah.
And how much would that show cost to book these days?
Oh, God. It'd be
a huge amount of money. Crazy. And it'd probably sell out, like,
oh, yeah,
all by itself.
Well, yeah.
Number two, WWE Male Wrestler of the Year, is Seth Rollins, who had, I think, the longest match in Raw history, which was that gauntlet match that took up pretty much our entire episode, which was great and shows you exactly what sort of dude he is. I'm glad they've changed his music slightly so I don't just think that someone's pressed pause on the CD. Yeah, because it just used to just be, it used to stop for 2 seconds and nothing in it. And at least it shouts Burn It Down now. So, I like him. I think he's one of these people that, very much like AJ Styles, very much like Daniel Bryan, just doesn't have bad matches.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, you know.
Just loves CrossFit and Mel.
It was only today when I wrote his name down, I went, oh, I bet he's called Rollins because of Henry Rollins. Like, I genuinely never even thought it.
Hey, guys, it's been punk rock since day one.
Radio 6 there. Radio 6.
Oh my god, I cannot wait until someone takes the audio clip of that and just rinses you. I'm so happy. I could go home now.
No, but it's one of those things that's so obvious I never even thought of.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you know that the people who carry the coffin at funerals are called pall bearers?
Yeah,
don't get me started. I'm still reeling from that.
So number one is, I'll tell you who this is, and this was also who I would have voted for, but you guys might have been different. Number one is Tommaso Ciampa, the greatest villain in modern wrestling history, and had an amazing year when you consider that his first match back from injury was at WrestleMania TakeOver. He had not wrestled up until that point, and then has just killed it repeatedly with Johnny Gargano, with Aleister Black, with Velveteen Dream, with anybody he's been put in a ring with. And whilst putting out some of the best promos and some of the best Twitter content that a wrestler has done in a long time. And a proper villain.
Mm.
A proper villain, which there are not many of in wrestling these days. I mean, there are still people who cheer for him, but you know, we know how I feel about that. I think he's had a fantastic year and would have been my easy pick for WWE Wrestler of the Year. How do you guys feel about him, and would you have chosen anyone else?
It's one of those things. I don't necessarily think he's my WWE Wrestler of the Year, but then the more I think about it, the more I don't know who I would actually go.
Yeah.
Well, no one, because it's been such an ensemble piece this past year, especially the main roster. Because, so for example, off the top of my head, Mustafa Ali. So has not put a foot wrong this year.
So the next three out of after the top three were AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, Mustafa Ali.
See, that's the thing. So Mustafa Ali, on the one hand, has killed it every time he's been out there, and is you want him to do well. You just it's him through and through. It's perfect. It's a great story. Him getting onto SmackDown made my December. Daniel Bryan, I think, has been brilliant from the moment he sort of won the title. But he was kind of so-so before then. I don't think anyone's had an absolutely outstanding year on the main roster. There's been loads and loads of good stuff. But then everything's kind of had, like, you know, that's probably why AJ Styles is four. Because he's not, you know, there's all the stuff with Nakamura, which didn't quite deliver the way people wanted it to. Ciampa's been incredible. I don't feel like he's had the best year in WWE, but then I don't know who I'd put above him completely.
It's weird, like, because I kind of agree. He is, it's that thing of, like, he is up there, and I think it's to his credit, of his, he's been so consistently good that you almost kind of forget that he's good. If that does that make sense? Like, you kind of take him for granted a little bit. Yeah. I think the thing with Mustafa Ali is, if I had to choose between the two of them, I'd probably pick Ali because of his rise and how important he's been in terms of so many things. Like, he represents so many different things, but it's just someone that really took something he was passionate about and made people really care about him. Like, his extracurricular activity, them promos, were outstanding, because they looked like nothing else. They sounded like nothing else. And it was all done by him, which I think's, like, just a testament to his work rate. And now he's gone onto the main roster, he isn't resting. Like, he's continuing to go from strength to strength. I've really enjoyed Almas this year. I've really enjoyed Mysterio this year, and I've really enjoyed Samoa Joe. But I think you made a good point of, I think it's been a year of everyone pulling together to make their shows good. Like, I feel like if you broke it down to 205, NXT, SmackDown, Raw, am I missing a show? Oh, NXT UK, obviously, but I think you could pick a top three from each show and then put them into a Premier division and you still be like, oh, that's really hard. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's been interesting this year, is like everyone's pulled their weight for their brand. But yeah, Ciampa's been phenomenal. And again, I think he's like Gargano, of the journey he's been on, the change he's been on since he was an independent to what he is now is phenomenal. And even, like, again, like Chris alluded to, when they were first a team, like, you wouldn't have sort of foreseen this where they are now. But yeah, I think Ali might be my pick.
Yeah, I think Ali's had a great year. I think Ciampa is the Al Pacino of wrestling, though. He's just become he's become terrifying method actor villain.
Wait a minute, what year Pacino?
I don't know.
I mean, we're talking not recently. We're not talking Jack and Jill Pacino, are we?
No, we're talking good Pacino.
Okay, Center Woman or before?
Not before that.
Before
Round Scarface.
Ooh.
Non-WWE male wrestler of the year. Our top three is, and we have a very, very clear, absolutely leagues out in front winner on this one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Third is the person who was the leagues away, absolutely out of control winner last year, I believe, and that's Kenny Omega.
Nice.
Second is Will Ospreay.
Nice.
And in first place, by a million miles, all in capitals, is Volta, who during the course of this year has been PWG champion, OTT champion, Progress champion, I think WXW champion at some point during 2018, as well as just getting this reputation of being the best, up until very recently, unsigned wrestler in the world. It was amazing. I genuinely had people messaging me going, is Walter WWE or not. Well, the awards are for 2018. I mean, he made his WWE debut on January the 12th. So
some people are still getting used to writing 2019 on things. You just
I mean, if you're doing that on checks, then move on. Get contactless. But I'm slightly biased towards Walter in that he's both someone I like as a human and is Progress champion. But I do think he's, even if he wasn't, I mean, there's a reason he became Progress champion, is because you tend to put the title on either people who are killing it storyline wise or people who are just really, really good wrestlers. And he happens to be a really, really good wrestler.
People who know something about you that we don't.
Oh, no, that's never happened. Not yet. But yeah, how do you feel about the top three? Is there anyone you feel is missing from the top three? Are you surprised about Walter winning it?
No, absolutely not.
Anyone would be.
Not really.
I've not. I'll be honest and say it. Like I've literally watched Zero New Japan in 2018. Really, but again, I've touched on it before. Like New Japan really wasn't always my promotion. Mm. And it's not because I don't like the product. I think the product's really good and they have some absolutely unreal wrestlers that keep on having incredible matches.
It's just that you're a hipster bell end who wants to be different.
Sure. We'll go with that. and that's why I would have chose... but yeah, I think the thing with Volta is it's just that he's got this... He's just got this aura around him. And I think that's what's been fascinating. Like... Everywhere he's been, it feels like a matter of time until he decimates the whole of the roster. And I think that's quite a cool thing. Like, I'm really trying to think of someone I can compare it to.
Vader.
Yeah.
In his prime.
Like, yeah, like, early 90s Vader, like, turning up to UWFI and battering all their lads. Yeah, like, he's just got this presence about him. And I think that's what's been... really, like, such a cool thing, and it's like being different. It's felt different, even though it's a bit of a nod to like the throwback sort of times. But yeah, I mean, you know, you mentioned the, like, yeah, I mean, just think about the matches he's had. He had that match with Jordan Devlin in Ireland, which was phenomenal, and felt like, you know, like Jordan was representing a whole country, which was super exciting. The matches he's obviously had in Progress that I've been really fortunate enough to be sat front row for. And then, like you said, goes to PWG, all the stuff he's been doing in WXW. It's like, even Fight Club and, you know, beyond, it's like there has not been a promotion he hasn't been to that he hasn't turned up and just had world-class matches mm-hmm. in.
He also gets wrestling. So he... is really good, and it says as a promoter, he's really good at coming to you with his opinions. He's really good at structuring matches. He is he's as smart about wrestling as someone like Pete is outside mm-hmm. of just doing the wrestling stuff. Mm-hmm. Because even though like he's always going to be a sort of baby faced dude, Volta, he's very experienced. He's wrestled all around the world. He went to Japan when he was very, very yeah. young, and just gets it. And manages to be one of the most exciting wrestlers in the world whilst doing nothing particularly flashy. It's chops and kick. And it's chops, a big boot, but everything looks believable. And I think he's the sort of person that maybe 5 to 10 years ago, if you're an indie wrestling fan, you wouldn't have got it. Whereas I think now is the exact right time for him to be around.
That experience... as you mentioned about going to Japan early on, and I always sort of come back to the matches he had with Daisuke Sakamoto in WXW, in that he is not a parody of, like, King's Road style main event wrestling from the early 90s. He's the real thing. It's because of his ability to draw emotion out of matches and his opponents. That match he had with Mark Davis... where everyone was like, oh my god, it was so violent, and he cut open Davies' chest and stuff like that. But everything in that match was so important and so well thought out in its way of drawing sympathy for someone like Davies, who's not a small guy and is a guy that, you know, when he's wrestling most people, he out-muscles. But it was such an important match for Davis because it gave sympathy for an audience to have an emotional attachment to him. And it also made Volta look like an absolute animal at the match he had with Thatcher. He destroyed a man that he's meant to be friends with. And it's like, he has such an intelligence about what he does between bell to bell. And I just think that I can't really think of anyone else. And that's not a knock on anyone in the independent wrestling at the minute that has that style and has that ability or can do it to the level that he does.
In a couple of years, we'll have people trying to beat him.
Yeah,
yeah. Always happens.
Yeah.
You know, we had people, you know, in the mid-noughties, you had people trying desperately to be Danielson or to be AJ Styles or to be whoever. And you will get people, you will get, eventually you'll get a pale imitation of him. But at the minute, we're very lucky because we have a real deal.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, when I was counting the votes up earlier, for a long time, it was very odd that, that Will didn't have like loads of votes for a while, and then the last 20 or so votes I counted, he got a vote in pretty much every one. Because Will is, I mean, I having watched him extensively for the last 7 years, is ridiculously good at everything that he does. The tag match that we had at Progress yesterday, up until Lycos's unfortunate injury, and to give you a little update on that, like I messaged him today, he's okay. He obviously sucks because he dislocated his shoulder really badly. But he appreciated everybody sort of clearing out the venue and being helpful. Didn't appreciate how long he had to wait for an ambulance, but that's the joys of London. Paramedic was really great. He looked after him really well. It's just unfortunately one of those things that just happened when he got clotheslined over the top rope. So, obviously sucks. We love Lycos and we wish him a speedy recovery. But in that match, you're watching, you know, four very good wrestlers, but obviously Will is so good. Like, I've just seen a gif of him doing a top rope assault driver on Chris Brooks, which is a terrifying move, but looks absolutely amazing. And at no point do you watch that and go, I worry for everybody involved with this. You just watch it and go, it'll be fine.
He's the impossible boy. Like,
he's nuts.
I mean, the standard of athleticism and high flying that him, Ricochet, Kota Ibushi, anyone that does that style, the Young Bucks, they've raised the bar so high. If you want to be that, if you want to be a flyer, that's your level of standard now, and that's, you know, a complete testament to Will. And you know, by no means is he the only one that's, you know, I could literally list a bunch of flyers that are unreal. But like, he, Will's evolution in terms of like his in-ring style recently has been really impressive, and yeah, absolutely.
Well, the stuff he couldn't do when he was 18,
yeah,
was like he could do everything, but he wasn't great at, he wasn't great with strikes, and he wasn't and like within a couple of years of him breaking into the business, and everyone realizing he was great. It's like he must have been sitting down and watching stuff and going, what am I not brilliant at? Because I want to be brilliant at that as well. Mm-hmm. And now he's at a point where he's brilliant at everything. Like, he wasn't the best talker, so he learned, and he got really good at that. Like, he's, you know, as long as he stays healthy, which, you know, he seems in, after his rib injury, which I think made him slow down a little bit last year, he seems to be in really good nick at the minute. It's the first time I saw him at the show yesterday. It's the first time I've gone, you're right, and he's not gone, oh, this hurts. Like, it's the first time he's gone, yeah, I'm great, thanks, how are you? And I'm like, oh, good. He seems in a good place. Good. Quick note on Kenny Omega. Like, came third, didn't come anywhere near the sort of amount of votes that Volta got. I know we talked about this with New Japan before. I think New Japan faces an interesting year this year because obviously quite a lot of their foreign talent are going to be in All Elite. And it creates an interesting conundrum for them. I think it'll be, Kenny Omega's still a heck of a worker, but obviously I think New Japan last year, for me, New Japan in 2017 was absolutely bananas, out of this world tremendous. New Japan in 2018 was still absolutely out of this world bananas tremendous, but I think Kenny Omega's year in 2017 with his stuff that he did with Okada was so groundbreaking at the time, it was easier to notice him. It's now almost like he's so good now, people are like, yeah, we know he's good, we don't need to vote for him. I genuinely think that's the reason, rather than him all of a sudden not being the best wrestler in the world, because he's still absolutely...
Expectation is everything. And Pete, I can't remember when they were talking about this. I can't remember where I saw it. But Pete was talking about, I think that Pete Dunne was talking about how the match with Tyler at NXT TakeOver, part of the reason it got the reaction it got, not just because it was a great match, was because nobody saw it coming. Nobody had any expectations.
Correct.
And now you put them in a match together, you expect that. And if it was like when I was travelling in a car with Mick Ferry once, a comedian who's given me some advice about it, and he says, when you storm it, to begin with, as a comedian, everyone thinks you're the best when you're new. But if you're booked to close a gig regularly and you storm it, you're doing your job. You're doing what you're paid to be there for. And I think with Kenny Omega as well, because he was on the rise for the couple of years before, he was, you know, junior heavyweight champion. He was in, sort of made the jump to heavyweight, and he then progressed up the card. There was that ascension. And then once you're at the top, you know, not that the only way there is down, but even if he's out there having, what was it, 6 3/4 star matches or some nonsense, all you're doing is delivering what's expected of you. So people, like you said, Jim, I think, will go, that's just Kenny being Kenny, isn't it?
Precisely. And I do think it's, again, Walter's year was so good that we're only given a chance for people to vote for one person. So I think for a lot of people, certainly listeners of this podcast who are going to be into British indie wrestling and stuff like that, the first name that's going to pop into your head is probably going to be a British indie wrestler. Just so you know, the honourable mentions, people who just missed out on the top three, were Jay White, Zack Sabre Jr., Chris Brooks, who got a lot of votes, and Cody. All people who, again, not surprised in any way that they've got those votes. And, you know, I'm really pleased to see Chris Brooks up there because he works very hard.
Yes.
And he's a fantastic guy. Not just fantastic in ring, he's got a great mind for wrestling as well. So, on to WWE Female Wrestler of the Year. This was the most one-sided category. Also, the only category where people repeatedly voted for someone just by using their nickname.
Brilliant.
So I'll give you the top three anyway. I'll be honest, the winner of this got 10 times more votes than the second place.
Okay.
The winner of this possibly got... Well, no, I'm just going to do the maths and say got more than all the other votes combined. Yeah, she didn't. Third place, and again, votes will have been split here because people weren't sure where to vote for her. Third place was Mae Young Classic winner Toni Storm.
Yeah.
Who had a great year in WWE,
yeah,
but wasn't really in WWE until the NXT UK product launched officially on the network. Ronda Rousey is second, who is an absolute game changer for women's wrestling with a legitimate background. And number one, to no surprise of anybody, was... I was trying to think of someone funny to say. I was trying to think of a wrestler from the 1980s that I could have said, and then my brain went, I'm not going to do that. Number one is the man, Becky Lynch. Excuse us, I believe my son needs to come in. Hey, Claudio. Hey, buddy. He's going to bed now.
He was
going
to say Nostarty Wall, but he's gone shy.
He's gone shy.
Nostar.
Nostar.
See you, mate.
Nostar, guys.
See you, guys.
See you, mate. Bye. Oh, boy going to bed.
He loves
Becky Lynch as well. That's who he voted for.
Yeah.
That was a lovely break from the unending cynicism of this podcast.
There's no cynicism in this podcast. You listen to other wrestling podcasts. This one's a positive breeze. So, Becky Lynch, number one by a million miles. And also as well, let's be honest, she's number one by a million miles, and she probably had half a year.
Yeah.
That's how good her half a year was.
Yeah. Because when was the turn? When did she...
Just after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
No, SummerSlam. It was actually SummerSlam, yeah.
So, there was your turn.
We were there.
Yes, indeed. And
Matt wasn't.
No, he wasn't. So, she has had, since August, has had such a good year. And here's the thing, was always good, but was always perhaps not in a role that was as prominent as others. And then all of a sudden... I mean, I appreciate when she turned, we were meant to boo her, but everyone did that thing where wrestling fans went, well, she's got a point. And she became the female Steve Austin, which she still is. And I, for one, 100% hope that she doesn't win the title in her match at Royal Rumble and then goes into the Women's Rumble and wins the Rumble. That's what I hope happens. Please, God. Because I think I'll be at the Rumble, and I think that I don't know if there's a roof on the stadium. It's in Phoenix; it doesn't really rain, But metaphorically, I would hope the roof would come off because she's so popular.
Yeah.
I mean, arguably the most popular wrestler in WWE. Isn't it?
Sincere, genuine.
Yeah, that's it.
Connection.
Yeah.
Do you know what's interesting as well? My little pet theory about her and about her personality, because she loves silly puns. You know, for many years that was her thing. She just always making daft jokes, always making silly puns. To me, that suggests, in a lot of cases, your brain's constantly going. There's clearly a really, really sharp brain inside there. And people may have written her off as being a bit daffy or a bit goofy. And now what's happened is she's at... They're seeing what happens when all of that is honed and focused and aimed at something. And there's... She's just outstanding at the moment. Punch someone in the throat this week.
Brilliant.
It's good.
I think for me, as much as the punch and the visual of her being covered in her own blood, which is still... that is up there with one of the most badass things I've seen, along with Killer Kelly after the match with Millie at the WXW London show, where she has the gum shield in her mouth, checks on her. I think it's her eye that was busted open and does the shrug. I was like, that's the most badass thing in the world ever. Yeah. But it was the segment she had with Edge and the response. I can't remember the line, but... Oh, yeah, it was just outstanding. It was that moment.
Was it the line about, careful you don't hurt your neck getting out of the ring?
Yeah, but it was everything, even before about your neck. It was the comeback about, like, I don't doubt myself, like, or whatever. It was like, I don't just like myself, I love myself, or whatever. And it was just that moment of, like, she just owned it and hasn't stopped. That's someone not only getting an opportunity, but making the most of it.
The only other wrestler to get close to the Storm, Rousey, Lynch top three was Shayna Baszler.
It
was in one of my sleeper favourite matches of the year, which was at the WWE United Kingdom Championship tournament at Royal Albert Hall. Her match with Toni Storm, which is one of my favourite matches that's ever ended in a count out. I think it was just really good. Just really, really good match between two fantastic competitors. And Shayna's brilliant. She's really good in her kind of mean... She's kind of reinvented what a mean heel can be. Because for a long time, and we've brought this up on the podcast before, a long time, if you were a mean female wrestler, you were in Mean Girls. That's what you were. You weren't mean just because you were hard as nails.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because how women's wrestling was built through history was built on very, very tough... And in some cases, genuinely mean for bad reasons. Women, like people like Moolah, who was not a nice human being. But women like Mildred Burke, who was absolutely hard as nails and was going and wrestling in Japan in the 50s and 60s. You know, that's... And now Shayna Baszler's got that character.
Her promo this past week on NXT with Bianca Belair, fantastic. Yeah. And it isn't just when she's talking, it's how she reacts.
Yeah.
So she's...
I think Bianca will be in our top three next year.
Yeah, 100%. Man, that...
I wonder how she does the thing where she spins on the spot. Every time I've seen her do it, when I've been at NXT shows, she does this thing where she spins completely on the spot.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
And the first time I saw her do it on TV, I thought that they put a little thing in the entranceway that just span her around. Nope. She does it under her own steam.
It's because she's an absolute freak of an athlete.
Well,
she's unreal.
Some of the deadlift moves she does.
She's unreal.
Terrifying.
She's phenomenal.
As three somewhat jaded wrestling fans, anytime we see something and go, I've never seen that before.
She's unreal. That whole NXT women's division is...
It's starting to feel like the age of all Japan.
You've got Kairi, you've got Io, you've got...
Dakota Kai,
you've got
Rhea Ripley's
in there.
You've got
Nixon when she's back.
Yeah. Nixon, you have Reina Gonzalez, who is outstanding. You've got Casey Catanzaro working the wings.
Yeah, Xia Li as well.
Xia Li,
yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
They're going to be like the All Japan women roster in the sense that they're doing stuff now that you'll see guys try to do and fail.
Hell yeah.
On to non-WWE women's wrestlers. Top three, It's a lot closer this one, but we just still have a clear winner. Mm-hmm. Third, and again, splitting the votes, is Tony Storm.
Hey!
I think if we focused in just one or the other, would have come a little bit higher, but Tony Storm, number three. Number two is Jordynne Grace.
Nice.
And number one is Miko Setomura.
Yes.
Which is great for a wrestler who wrestled on Nitro in about 1997 to still be as relevant. And not only as relevant, more relevant than she's ever been. More popular than she's ever been. Being in the Mae Young Classic. We, and probably you, dear listener, knew who she was. And then she was in the Mae Young Classic. And now a whole load of other people know who she is because she's had that exposure. Also, a sweetheart of a human being, as me and Matthew will attest.
Can eat
all of the Nandos in the world, as we've talked about on this podcast before.
Oh, my good Lord, yes.
Her and Emi Sakura will sit and eat Nandos for 4 hours if given the chance.
Yeah.
At some point, if it kills me, she will wrestle in a progress ring.
Would kill you.
Yeah, she would literally kill
me. Is there not like middle ground? Do we have to have your death?
No, I'll try not to die.
You bid. You went in pretty high with that.
Yeah,
you
could have just said, bid with like
I really, ring. Really would like it to happen.
I know she wants to do it, but it's just one of those things that hasn't lined up. So at the minute, you know, people get to see her at Fight Club Pro, people get to see her at EVE, which is great.
Yeah.
But fingers crossed at some point we'll get to see her, because she's wonderful and a wonderful person all around. Mm-hmm. Jordynne has had a great year. Like, the first time I saw Jordynne in person was when she did our show in Boston. And we were just blown away by her. She was just fantastic. As we were with, we used a few American indie talents on our tour of America.
Was it Boston and not Philly? Because she was on in Philly, wasn't she?
That was a four-way. She was in a singles match in Boston.
Yeah,
that was bankrupt. Did I just do the I think you're fine to someone about their own promotion?
Yeah, I think you did, yeah.
Oh, man.
And also to the guy that does commentary for the promotion, and I had to research them notes.
You didn't do it in the right voice, though.
Yeah, you did remember it in the such voice. A polite way.
Remember the voice you're meant to do.
I think you're fine.
I think you're fine.
But she's had a great year. Again, someone who's great to have around, and is terrifyingly young. 22.
Yeah.
Is now Progress Women's Champion.
Don't get me started on youth in wrestling now. Watching the Women's Championship match at TakeOver and realising that cumulatively they're about the same age as I am.
That's terrible. but yeah, Jordynne...
It's a long walk back to Manchester.
Jordynne had a great year. Did loads of good stuff. Doing good stuff in Impact now as well. And, you know, we made the decision to make a Progress Women's Champion, which and now she's doing what Matt Riddle did with the Atlas Division title, and she's taking it around and defending it in various places, which is awesome. And again, Tony, who, you know, had a great year both on the Indies and in WWE, and it's quite nice seeing Dave Meltzer tweeting about Tony Storm and saying, well, she'll be she's basically going to have the main roster is going to be built around her for the next decade. You're like, oh, everyone sees it. Because, everyone sees it. She's fantastic. Just outside of the top three, two names who got a significant number of votes outside the top three were Millie McKenzie, who was just a couple of votes short of being in the top three, and Tessa Blanchard, who got a fair number of votes. We'd have a lot of... We had 23 different names voted for in this. Which was particularly good, especially when we all know that even from when we started this podcast like a couple of years ago, the leaps that women's wrestling has taken in that time, and that shows by the fact that not everyone is signed to WWE. There's still loads and loads of names that people can name from outside of it.
It's that spread of votes as well shows the depth of the pool.
Mm.
Whereas if we did this a few years ago, it would have, you know, it's probably not a shock that the top three were who they were.
Hmm.
But there would have only been sort of three or four names that would have made the cut. So the fact that so many people have got their own favourites and the people that made the most impression on them just shows how much talent there is out there now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that they're being showcased.
Yeah.
On to the next one, which is WWE Match of the Year. I was mildly surprised. So, mildly.
Oh, God.
Mainly because my choice did not win. So, we had, again, 24 different matches were named for WWE Match of the Year. We have a very, very clear top three. Your top three is Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair from Evolution.
Hmm. Yep.
Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa, the unsanctioned first match from TakeOver New Orleans, which is not only my choice of match of the year, is probably my match of the decade. Wow. I absolutely adore that match and cannot say enough positive things about it. But number one, pipping it by one vote, was Andrade Cien Almas versus Johnny Gargano from NXT TakeOver Philadelphia, which everyone's surprising. Forgotten about. I'd forgotten about because it was in January.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank Andrade for his one vote. First show, he listened.
So I've spoke about Andrade a few times and that I think he's one of the best wrestlers on the planet. And I think the little series he's doing with Rey Mysterio, they've got 2 out of 3 falls match tomorrow night on SmackDown. Right, the little series of matches he's doing with Ray has made everyone again go. It's almost like he's starting SmackDowns like the same thing that he's starting NXT. He was brought in with a lot of fanfare to NXT, didn't necessarily get over with his initial character, then got put with Zelina Vega, who is absolutely out of this world amazing as a manager, then all of a sudden just hit his stride, and he had that first match with Johnny Gargano at NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn the previous August, and that was the point where I think he just hit the ground and it went nuts for him. And I think that's happening with him on the main roster now as well. I think he's having these matches with Ray where people will start going, isn't he brilliant? Absolutely. And fans will laugh because, again, moving from NXT to main roster, it's not just as easy as we're wrestling fans who love NXT. So when people move to main roster, we expect them all to do absolutely brilliant. It doesn't happen for everybody. Mm-hmm. But he's so good. He was so good before he even went to WWE. He's so good. And the fact that you know he's been busting out Canadian Destroyers with Rey Mysterio on SmackDown. I mean, the only thing that would have made that even more taboo is if they'd done it in New Orleans. Like, it's fantastic. So, again, that match, 100% a 5-star match, absolutely brilliant. For me, I prefer Gargano and Ciampa. And just so you're aware, Gargano and Ciampa 2 was also in there. Mm. That came 4th. joint fourth with Aleister Black and Johnny Gargano from NXT TakeOver War Games. NXT is featured heavily in these. The six-man ladder match is joint fifth. And I think the highest, if you don't count Evolution, with it being a sole female-only pay-per-view, the highest main roster match, joint fifth, was Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle against Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, which I love that to bits.
Like
when I was watching it at Mania, because like everybody, the three wrestlers, the three people who've been around wrestling for longer, shall we say, in that match, because Stephanie's not strictly speaking a wrestler, but Triple H and Kurt Angle and Stephanie has been around the business since she was a kid, made Ronda Rousey into, because Ronda Rousey could have come in and just got by on her reputation, but that won't last forever. She came in and got by on that, looking like a
bad reputation.
I see what you're doing. But you know what I mean? That match absolutely made it. There's a lot, out of the 24 matches that were named, there are a lot of matches from NXT. because NXT is, and again, for our listeners, I think we're all more likely to lean slightly more towards NXT than we are to main roster. And there's nothing wrong with that.
It also leans more towards us. Mm. I think it's aimed at us. It's a wrestling product and a wrestling network for wrestling fans. So, but yeah. Did I tell you that I nearly, because last year was my I've come into a bit of money, I'm going to go and see lots of wrestling in America year. So I got to go to the Rumble. Did I tell you that I nearly left TakeOver before the main event?
Why?
I was tired. I'd flown in the day before. I was there going, I'm feeling really tired at this point. I'm just going to go back to the hotel. I mean, I'm sure this match will be good, but I'm not that excited about it. And then I thought, well, I've come all this way. I might as well watch it. Kind of glad that I did.
So, you were in attendance for that one.
Yep.
Were you in attendance for Gargano and Ciampa?
New Orleans, yep.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I can say it now because I worked there. I was backstage for it, which made it even more mental. Mm-hmm. And also, it's for that match for me as well, it's two of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Tommaso in particular, like And knowing it was Tommaso's first match back after injury, mm-hmm. like everything about that match, not just is it a great match, it's a special match to me as a person. Mm-hmm. And again, like, I love the Evolution show as well, so mm-hmm. I was not surprised at all mm-hmm. to see Becky Lynch and Charlotte getting as many votes as they did. So, there's some, and also it's quite nice, there's a couple of, so Hideo Itami against Mustafa Ali from 205 Live nice. Got a vote. Mm-hmm. As did, I'm just trying to find it here, Buddy Murphy and Mustafa Ali's no disqualification mm-hmm. Match. So again, Mustafa Ali proving that he's had a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Buddy Murphy's had some great matches as well. Buddy Murphy and Mark Andrews on 205 Live was absolutely fantastic. Fantastic 12-minute long sprint mm-hmm. of a match. Absolutely brilliant.
The it's hard to sort of pick out a favourite match. The couple that I thought maybe flew under the radar a bit won't get the recognition. I thought Survivor Series this past year was fantastic in mm-hmm. the sense that you had the Nia Jax Ronda Rousey match had me on the edge of my seat.
Yep.
And Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar, which I thought...
Oh, I thought that was great.
It's That's incredible. Great it was incredible. And it's the sort of thing that will just kind of fly under the radar a bit, which is weird considering it is a main event and one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year. But it's... We're almost spoilt. Remember when we used to have 4 pay-per-views a year, and
nothing but Fields, mate. No, I don't. No, I mean, I live in a new building. I mean, it was Fields like about 2 years ago.
Yeah, Google Maps still thinks it's Fields.
No, it does.
Yeah, I'm amazed you get any post. But in my day, you know, it's the fact that you had like 4 big wrestling shows a year, and on each one of those, You know what? You were lucky to get one blinding match a year on pay-per-view. Mm. Maybe 2. That's why, like Piper and... Like, when I first became a fan. So, in that year, you had Savage Flair, you had Piper Hart, you had Bulldog and Davey. But everything else was just kind of okay. But now, we have so many amazing matches happening so often. Almost kind of blurs.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, I can tell you what my match of 2019 is already.
What was it?
Grizzled Young Veterans versus Mustache Mountain.
Yeah, it's right.
Takeover. I mean, admittedly, for the fact that I nearly cried when the end of the match happened. But yeah, that's it. Mark, whoever listens to this, I'm sure there's some people, take a cap of that and remind me this time next year. Unreal.
Mm-hmm. So. On to non-WWE Match of the Year. This is one of the categories I have to make an apology because I'm aware there's a lot of crossover between my own podcast and people who watch Progress shows.
I would also like to apologise for future show.
31 different matches were named in votes for non-WWE Match of the Year. 3 matches in joint third. We have from Progress Chapter 75, Jimmy Havoc versus Will Ospreay,
mm-hmm.
2 out of 3 falls match. We also have Volta versus Tyler Bate from Hello Wembley. And we also have Volta versus Timothy Thatcher. Second place, we have LAX versus CCK from Chapter 80, which was right in December, right at the end of the year. Which I think was fresh in a lot of people's minds when they were voting. But number one is not a progress match. Number one is Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada. 2 out of 3 falls match from New Japan Pro Wrestling Dominion. Which I think Dave Meltzer gave 18 stars to. I could be wrong. There's a lot of matches in it that, you know, got like just 1 or 2 votes. And again, it's one of those things. It's subjective in it, what you're into. But I think very few people would argue. I think the Omega Ricardo match is probably the best match they've had.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, those lads have had some good matches. So it is a proper match of the ages. It's one of those matches. It's a bit like Misawa Kawada. It's one of those matches that we'll still go back to in 20 years' time and still be watching. So I'm not at all surprised by that. What are your thoughts, lads?
I'm going to confess that out of those, I have only actually seen the CCK LAX match.
Right.
It's a big year for three lesser acronym tag teams, isn't it?
Yeah,
GYV, LAX, CCK, OVE, DIY, if they get back together. Right. So I've not really seen many of them because, again, I think it's that's the breadth of the people who are voting, and everyone's got their own favourite. There's so much wrestling now, and so much good wrestling. It's not even as if I made a conscious decision not to watch the Progress matches back.
Yeah.
But I generally only have time to watch them if I'm there, because there's so much stuff, and it's so much that's good. I'm trying to think, because again, most of the stuff I watched last year was either WWE or NXT, or was again the promotion that I run. So I'm slightly self-serving, but also to give credit where credit's due, my favourite match of last year was Sonna Durston and Sam Bailey's I Quit match from November at the Guildhall, and it bothers me that not enough people will see it. Not because I want to make money or sell tickets, but because you have someone in Sam Bailey whose talents need to be seen. And you can see it. Go. And I don't care if you buy anything from us or anything. Go to futureofinfinite.com. You can actually see that match for free. It's so good. I just want the world to see it. And they told an amazing story. That was my non-WWE match of the year last year.
What was yours? Bear in mind, I don't think Tori Mon run as many shows as they used to. So what's yours?
Too small one. Stand-up comedian. Mine, outside of Progress, was Volta Devlin from OTT. I just googled it to make sure. Zack Sabre Jr. versus David Starr in the Tetsujin Super Fight at Stage 2. So that was phenomenal. That was like, yeah. And again, I know I'm biased because, you know, I work for that company, but that was outstanding. Progress-wise, LAX versus CCK was phenomenal. I really want to just steal LAX and keep them for ourselves because not only are they just the nicest lads in the world ever, but bloody hell, they can go. And what was so important about that weekend, I think, and I think the reason why that match was as good as it was it meant so much to them, and it obviously meant so much to CCK as well. But it meant, you could just see that that whole weekend was so important to them, and that's really lovely. Volta versus Tyler was unreal for the stage.
See, I have a theory on that match. I love that match, and I think it's great. But I think people would have raved about it a lot more if it had been in the ballroom.
Probably, but I imagine 4,700 people were all right with having that match.
Oh, they were, but I think the fact that the show had a bit of lateness, and also that it's such a big show, I think people, it's almost like you're still going to send some people home disappointed unless someone pulls out a shotgun and shoots someone.
Of course.
I think it may have, if Tyler had won the championship,
yeah,
I think it probably would be match of the year. But it's also really nice to know that, because everyone there, I think, and I certainly felt like, were ready. If Tyler became champion at that point, everyone would have lost their mind. And I think it's also nice to know that we're in a position where the outcome of a match can affect your opinion of it.
Also, honourable mention, which is in a very odd sentence to even say, a match that probably actually went under the radar a little bit, was Daisuke Sekimoto versus Tyler Bate from Fight Club Pro.
Which did get a vote.
It was bloody cracking. It was really good, and a complete honour to again be able to introduce that match.
I mean, Walter versus Thatcher is my favourite Progress match of the year.
Yeah.
So from a Progress point of view, I love that match. I also love Devlin and Ospreay.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And then there's the OTT stuff. So there's Walter and Ospreay from there. There's Walter and Devlin from there. There's some great New Japan stuff. You know, there's obviously the match that won it, Omega and Okada. But then you've got Will and Marty's match that they had that was fantastic, because every time they wrestle each other, it's fantastic. You've got Takahashi and Ospreay as well, which was a fantastic match too. So there's lots and lots of great stuff.
If you listen to the podcast and you follow me, link me up. Tell me what I should watch, because I feel like I've missed a lot this year. Well, last year, I should say.
Oh, little hidden gem, and I've waxed on this before. Zach Gibson versus Rey Mysterio. Had a little cracker at 5-star. Remember 5-star?
No. But I do remember, that five, match.
Yeah. WWE Show of the Year. It was close between the top two, and no one else came particularly close. So, number three is Evolution. Fantastic show. No debate in that whatsoever. Number two is NXT War Games 2. And then number one is NXT TakeOver New Orleans, which was easily my choice for WWE Show of the Year. And I went to a lot of WWE shows last year. And in particular, I went to a lot of TakeOvers. And that show... Again, because it had one of my favourite matches of the decade in it, but also every match on that show was fantastic. Absolutely out of this world, banana show, and such a cool thing to have the day before WrestleMania as well, right? Even though NXT and WWE are the same brand, to have a show that's that awesome ahead of the biggest show in wrestling is just such a cool thing. And I wouldn't have been surprised if War Games won it, because I thought War Games was a great show as well. All of the takeovers got a vote. all of the takeovers got more than one vote. Just outside the top three was TakeOver Brooklyn and the Royal Rumble. I love the Royal Rumble. I'm delighted to be going to it this year, because it's one pay-per-view that I've always loved since I was a kid, and I think it's everyone's. It's for some people, it's probably their favourite. But outside of Mania, it's probably easier.
That 2018 Rumble was the men's Rumble and the women's Rumble. Yeah. Were both banging, weren't they?
Absolutely banging.
That was it, because you forget Adam Cole and Almas appeared in them. It's mad, isn't it? And then you obviously had like the women's one, which was that mix of brilliant, like it was the current talent as well as like sort of the throwback. It was cracking, yeah.
It was a
belt, yeah. I rewatched it for the first time since I was there.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, last year, stupid year of going to loads of wrestling. Yeah. And I've been rewatching the Rumble matches of late, going through the years. And that closing stretch with the last four, when it was Nakamura, Balor, Reigns, and Cena, being in the middle of that, and just the no one was indifferent. Mm. It's wonderful. When the Rumble gets it right, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
To non-WWE Show of the Year. So, number three. And again, we had 25 different shows got votes from this. From Matt Riddle's Bloodsports. A couple of Attack shows got votes. A couple of OTT shows got votes. A couple of Fight Club Pro shows got votes. A couple of Joey Janela's shows got votes. Both Lost in New York and Spring Break. A few progress shows got votes. Just outside the top three, when I'm thinking about who I'd vote for, I try not to vote for progress because it feels a little bit weird. So I would have voted for Battle of Los Angeles. If you vote for one specific day of something, by the way, I've just lumped it all in with like. So if you voted for 16 Carat Day 2, it's on 16 Carat. Mm. Same with Battle of Los Angeles. I've always loved Battle of Los Angeles. Progress wouldn't exist without PWG, so I'm always going to love it. I thought, especially with it being the first year of it being in its new venue, I thought it was fantastic. I think Bola always has to be somewhat. It always has to be a choice. I think it's very difficult for people to not choose Battle of Los Angeles. But they came fifth. Fourth was New Japan Dominion, which obviously had the fantastic Omega Okada match that we described before. Number three was Wrestle Kingdom. Number two was All In. And number one was Hello Wembley. But again, I think that's down to the listenership of this. I don't tell people what to vote for. And I'm going to probably blow you mind. I'm into something that both of my friends here know this. Hello Wembley was not my favourite progress show of the year. Partly because it's too stressful to put that show on. It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare where you don't sleep for 2 weeks before it. And I'm super proud of the show, super proud of the crowd that we drew for it, despite people somehow trying to tell me that getting nearly 5,000 people to a show is bad, because we didn't get 10,000, we never thought we would. Like, once we got past 3,000, that bit wasn't stressful. But then we had injuries, and we had people being pulled from the show, and we had all kinds of nightmares leading into that show. And that show, and there's a poster of it on the wall, for the plaque I got given for putting that show on. Like, I'm super proud of it, but as a wrestling fan, was it my favourite Progress show of the year?
No.
It was probably third. First was Super Strong Style, because it's always my favourite show of the year. Second would be, normally would be Unboxing, but not this year. I really enjoyed Unboxing, but again, Unboxing felt stressful for various reasons. So 24 Hour Progress People, the show we did in Manchester, which we didn't expect to be, it was that expectation thing again. We didn't expect it to be as good as it was, and it was ridiculously good. So that would be my second favourite. And then it would be Wembley. And bearing in mind, I love every Progress show like you would love a child. I've never gone away from a Progress show going, oh, well, I didn't think that was any good at all. Like, I'm always hypercritical of everything that we do. There was nothing at Wembley I wasn't happy with, but I just don't like big arenas. That's what it comes down to. I'm really pleased that so many people came to the show and so many people had a good time and so many people voted for it. Thank you, that's great. But for me, it wasn't my favourite show of 2018. As a fan, it was Battle of Los Angeles. As a Progress fan, it was Super Strong Style. I think Super Strong Style, last year Super Strong Style was fantastic, and I'm biased because of my company, but I love that show. And again, even then we had to deal with Tyler's injury and changing a lot of stuff. I'm still super happy with that. What was your you guys non-WWE shows of the year?
I'm trying to think how many I saw outside of WWE NXT, and I'm going to stop talking about my own promotion because, you know, it's a little self-indulgent. Again, I've only really been to a few Progress shows. I'm trying to think, because I'm sure as soon as I walk out the door tonight, I'll go, oh, that was amazing. That was really good fun. 24-hour Progress People was incredible.
I mean, I said so it. I got heat from people on Twitter because I went, I think that's my favourite Progress show of the year at the time when I was still basking in the glory. I've reset a little bit now and prefer Super Strong Style. But I had people going, what, you liked it more than Wembley? Yeah, just because the show's got a lot of people at it doesn't mean, like... Look at WWE. Like, you guys have voted. The best WWE show of last year was a takeover in front of 11,000 people. Instead of WrestleMania in front of 80,000.
You can like something more than something else without that other thing being bad. And it's
weird how the internet thinks that if I don't like something equally as something else, then I hate it, which is not the case. Mm-hmm.
So that was Progress in Philly as well.
Oh, that was a fun show, yeah.
But again, it wasn't all about what happened in the ring. It was also about, again, personal thing. It's significant to seeing you and seeing people that I knew at the arena in Philadelphia.
I was surprised more people didn't vote for All In, but I also think not necessarily lots of people in this country saw All In. Because it was a lot easier to watch it in the States. That's for certain. And Wrestle Kingdom, like last year, Wrestle Kingdom was, you know, absolutely smashing the living daylights out of this. And this year didn't. And again, it wasn't like... 2018's Wrestle Kingdom was fantastic. 2019's Wrestle Kingdom was fantastic in places. I don't think it was... I don't think this year's Wrestle Kingdom... And this is a very positive podcast, so I don't like to... I'm not being negative about it, but I don't think this year's Wrestle Kingdom was as good as 2018, 2017, 2016, 2015. I think it was the first one in a while that was still a 9 out of 10 of a show. It just wasn't a 10 for me.
Maybe it's expectations again. It's gone from the fact that this is getting better and better and better. Now it's here.
Well, it was interesting watching on Twitter, like, people reacting to match times at Wrestle Kingdom, 2019's Wrestle Kingdom, not 2018's, but 2019's Wrestle Kingdom, people reacting to match times, because a lot of the matches are only 10, 12 minutes long. And people going, but all the matches are dead short. Well, they're not. The main event was still like 45 minutes, and the main event was ridiculous. And Ibushi and Ospreay was ridiculous. Like, the whole show was bookended by two out-of-this-world matches. But the rest of it was just, it was brilliant. But it just wasn't the level that it has been in previous years, not for me. And I think, but I think the 2018, I don't know if people, when people were voting, maybe, because I had a couple of people go, oh, which Wrestle Kingdom do I vote for? I'm like, well, the 2018 because it was in 2018. But it's also right at the beginning of the year, so I don't know if that could.
It's been a long time since it happened.
Final thing, is the five extra names that are going to go into.
Well,
the
I tell you what, because I completely forgot what the categories we were doing because I'm completely zoned out. Not so much a show, but the year that Attack had was absolutely phenomenal. Like, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that if I quit wrestling and I left everywhere I worked, the one show that I would absolutely 110% go to is Attack, because I really, really think that they have something incredibly special, and their anti-fun police slash nothing to prove storyline that they did this year was arguably the best story, emotional, match quality. Like, it was outstanding. The fact that this year they made you care about a fake policeman, a man that is from Mexico via South Wales, two brothers in hard hats, and a man that used to be a cop and is now sexy, and made you nearly cry at a video that they put out, and then to have the emotional release at the end. Also, to take someone that was so sweet and tender and lovely as Chuck Mambo and make him a despicable piece of shit, to then have one of the biggest reactions in your company's history by bringing back a sexually, overly sexually active mouse in a raincoat. And all of this sounds ridiculous, but was done in such an incredible manner that they are such an absolute gem. They are so special and have been for years, but I think this year they deserve every ounce of credit. They're unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that is like not... That is my genuine opinion. That has not got nothing to do with the fact that I've been very lucky to work for them and that I have friends involved with that promotion. I genuinely think they are the fucking hidden gem of this scene, and long may it continue.
To the Hall of Fame. So we already put a load of people in. Basically, I've chosen the top five from the votes that people did. Some people did not heed the rules of the Hall of Fame. Move your legs, man. You're blocking it. The rules are, the wrestler has to either be, or both, but it has to at least be over 40 or retired. So a few people go in, I don't know, well, this person's still wrestling, can they go in? Well, if they're over 40, then yeah. If they're under 40, then no. It's quite simple. Also, if they're already in the WWE Hall of Fame, they can't go in. And if they're already in our Hall of Fame, there's no point in you voting for them. They're already in. We ain't going to change it. Which comes to... So we've got five guys here. One person got way more votes than everybody else. So he'll be the last headliner. We'd already done the headliner with our one when we put them in before Christmas. So, some of the names that aren't going in that have been mentioned, I'm going to reel off a load of them now. Taka Michinoku, Rollerball Rocco, Matt Hardy, Scotty Too Hotty, Billy Robinson, Rey Mysterio, The New Age Outlaws, Psychosis, Dynamite Kid, Atsushi Anita, Vader, Dan Severin, Chavo Guerrero Jr., Rob Van Dam, Dean Malenko, Raven, Mitsuharu Misawa, who we still haven't somehow got in there, despite me and Matt being part of this podcast, Hiroshi Tanahashi, not retired, definitely over 40, Christopher Daniels, Goldust, Great Sasuke, Charles Robinson, the referee, Splits McPins from Attack.
Oh, amazing!
Ultramantis Black, Zandig, and Andy Kaufman. That's a few people. Who got one or two?
Ultramantis Black.
Yeah.
Has someone logged into my like alt account and put in these people in?
Yeah.
Brilliant. I love you lot.
But here's the top five. The first person I'm going to give you is just to check whether or not we already put him in, and that's Christian. I don't think we have.
Christian.
I don't think we have. We've talked about him previously, but I don't think we've put him in. Mm-hmm. So from the listeners of Tuesday Night Jaw, the five people going in are. Christian, Justin Thunder Tiger / Jushin Thunder Liger, Bull Nakano,
yes,
Steve Corino, and with the most votes, Nigel McGuinness.
Hey!
Well done, guys. You did good.
The crafty bastard timing that documentary.
I know. and I will be honest, he got a fair few votes, and a lot of them did come after that documentary.
Oh, I tell you what.
But not all of them. He would still have got in the top five, regardless. He got, by far and away, way more votes than everybody else. Christian got the second most votes, and then Bill Nakano, then Liger, then Steve Corino. So out of these guys, I've met three of them. I've never met Bull Nakano, but I'm sad about that.
Yes.
Although I always remember when we did, I think it was either the first Ali Pali show or it was Super Strong Style when Susie dressed up as Bull Nakano.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I've never, one of my wish list wrestlers to have on a Progress show is Liger. I've said this before, my favourite start to a story of all time is William Regal sitting me and Dave Mastiff down and going, me and Joshy and Thunder Liger, we're in a bed and breakfast in the Shetland Islands. I don't even remember the rest of the story. But
it can never live up to
it
that.
It can never live up to the start. And he was Keiichi Yamada, I believe it was his original name. Steve Corino is one of my favourite wrestlers. He's been a guest on Tuesday Night Jaw before. He's a lovely human being. I worked with him the other weekend because he was working at Takeover in Blackpool and I was working there as part of my job. So it's great to see him. Someone I get on really, really well with was a fine wrestler back in his day and is now someone who's producing ridiculously good quality matches for NXT in his role as a backstage agent slash producer slash coach. So he's awesome. And Nigel, I'm delighted for Nigel because he's someone I've known for a bit through you, mainly Chris, and he's a good dude. He's a good dude who's working really hard on his commentary. He's doing really great with the commentary side of it. And let us not forget, was for a long time the shining hope of British wrestling. So on a British wrestling podcast, it's brilliant that Nigel is now in our Hall of Fame. So congratulations all. How do we all feel about the five newest the newest people going into our esteemed hall?
I mean, without being too crude, you would have to be some kind of prick to have a problem with them not being in the Hall of Fame, wouldn't you?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I filtered out, like, I just don't bother putting in my spreadsheet any that are clearly a joke or any that...
So how the fuck did Viscera get in?
That was too late. That was back in the day.
Jesus Christ.
But...
It's still not okay about that.
I know you
not. Have I not communicated that?
I know you not. But don't speak ill of the dead. I'm surprised Dynamite Kid didn't get more votes, especially because he's recently passed. So, and again, would not be surprised if one of us puts him in at some point next year.
Nah. Doesn't wear a mask, and he isn't obscure.
So, the thing with Dynamite...
Why would you wear a mask?
The thing with Dynamite Kid is... The weird thing when he passed away was how many people made a point of saying, oh, but he wasn't a very nice person. Like, well, not everybody in wrestling is. Like, it's fine. Like, I know he wasn't a very nice person. A lot of people have told us that. But equally, he was an absolute trailblazer of a wrestler. Like, there's a difference between not a very nice person, someone like Dynamite, who was certainly towards the end of his life very bitter about everything that had happened. But maybe when he was a wrestler, he was a little bit of a bully. There's a definite difference between that sort of not a nice person to a Benoit not a nice person. He's not like that. And I think that a lot of people brought out, even like after like a couple of days after he died, it always felt a little bit like, maybe not bring it up now. Maybe wait a bit.
But then it's again, that's not necessarily just him or just wrestling. There are people nowadays who just feel the need to say they must be heard. It's like with Lycos getting hurt, there are people who immediately had to say, well, told you so, this, that, the other bullshit, because they need to be heard. But yeah, I think Dynamite's going to be an interesting one because there are lots of unpleasant people in wrestling, but his was very well documented. Mm. Mostly, I think, it came through Bret Hart because Bret Hart was very outspoken about it. Mm. And there's a lot of stuff that's happened that isn't necessarily common knowledge, but I think he occupies that weird space as well. Mm. So there's going to be a lot of folk who have a bit of an issue with him, and if you do, it's fair. But
yeah. Well, I'm not saying you can't have an issue with him. Yeah. I'm just saying that it felt like a lot of people, bearing in mind, he's been pretty much retired from public view for about a decade.
Not longer than that, 1990s. He.
But it seemed amazing how many sort of 25-year-old people have got an opinion on what a horrible human being he was.
Yeah.
And again, like, I'm not saying he was an angel by any means, but you know, definitely was a bit of a bully. Definitely had some problems, but at the same time, you know, was a ridiculously good wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, once someone's passed away, and you can hopefully forget about the bad stuff in their life, you know, maybe that's something to come back to. But it's interesting. People like Christopher Daniels are obviously still wrestling, but you know, is in his 40s and still going and still doing great. Interesting to see him in there. And yeah, someone like Taka Michinoku in my head is still clearly only 20 years old. but yeah, to see him in there as well is interesting. But I don't think anyone would argue with any of those, with those five. We will add them. We'll get our engraver to chip them into the...
And if not, we'll just laminate them, yeah, some like cards.
Do you know what? I just want to say thank you to the people that voted for Ultramantis Black and Splits McPins, because now you've reminded me of the loophole of retirement. So I'm going to find the most obscure Toramon wrestler that retired really early.
Oh.
And I am going to wedge them into the Hall of Fame.
I know exactly who it is. If it's obscure wrestlers who retired. What about Delirium, Matthew Taylor Richards?
Oh, good Lord.
You could go in the Hall of Fame.
Never vote for him.
Or vote for me to ruin his life. Ruin his credibility more than he's already done it himself, and vote me in for 2019.
You're listening to Radio 6. We're coming up.
I mean,
to...
you keep getting the name of it wrong. That's the bit that it makes it even worse. Right, let's plug some stuff as we end this shambles of a podcast.
I'm going to plug my campaign for 2019 and my Tuesday night jaw. March to the Hall of Fame. I'm talking over your wrestling.
A talk over your wrestling.
There you go. You're welcome.
Said like a nan.
Yeah.
You talk over wrestling. Good work. Well done. Loving your work.
Cheers, mate.
What's your social media?
At Enrich's host. Let's find really obscure wrestlers to really annoy Jim with. And let's batter him with it. Yeah.
Thanks. Fine. Christopher, plug some stuff.
Danny Sensation for the 2019 Hall of Fame. My own Twitter is at the Brooker Man. I think I've broken Matthew.
Again, full on Beaker then from the Muppets.
Oh my God!
At the Brooker Man, at Future Shock Res. Plugs, come to see the show. Future Shock Tapped.
He's not retired.
February. He's not retired.
No, he wrestled. Is he over 40? He wrestled in 2018. He's definitely not over 40. Well, I mean, his hairline's definitely looks like he's over 40.
Put a pin in Danny Sensation. We'll come back to him later. Tapped 3, Future Shock, Manchester City Centre, Wednesday, 6th of February. We have three matches announced. Big Joe versus Sugar Dunkerton, which is going to be a treat. We have
Boss.
No Time Limit. CJ Banks versus Joey Hayes. They went 50-minute time limit last night. It was exceptional. This is going to be even better. And the Grizzly Young Vets taking on the Young Guns. February 23rd, we've got Sonny Durson versus Pac at Longfield Suite. And we have the Hurricane, Shane Helms, coming to the Town Hall for Uproar 105. And that is on the 17th of March. Tickets for all of the above can be found via futureupwrestling.co.uk. Join us.
That was good. That was professional.
No time for professionalism on this.
Me. at Jim Smallman on Twitter. ProgressWrestling.com, demand-progress.com, everything on Distraction Pieces Network. Progress tickets. The next Progress show is Camden, February the 24th. Tickets go on sale next Monday, January the 28th at noon. Tickets went on sale today for season ticket holders. For Kaiju Big Battle.
Yes!
Super Strong Style Weekend. They go on general sale on Thursday, should you want to come to that. Obviously come to Super Strong Style. I know what's planned for it. I'm not allowed to tell you yet, but trust me, it'd be bananas.
I'm phoning in sick. I'm just going to Kaiju.
It was afterwards.
Just so you know.
I'm still going to phone in sick. So I want to go in with a clean palette for Kaiju.
I'm going to be Dr. Cube. That's all I say.
No!
Can I clarify something? Matthew, if you compete, then you won't be eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, and someone did say they wanted to book me against French Toast. So, torn now.
But that's
undefeated last year.
Super Strong Style tickets are on sale now for Alexandra Palace, May the 4th, 5th and 6th. We've also got tickets on sale for March the 9th in Bournemouth, March the 10th in Birmingham. They're the only tickets you can buy at the minute. But do come to Super Strong Style because it's a festival of wrestling that's great fun. I'll be there. These lads will probably be there.
I mean, probably?
I'm excited. Yeah, your career's in my hands.
Do you hear that, John? Did you hear that? Yeah, good.
John's not listened this long.
Yeah, I was going to say he's probably rated that it's like 9 hours or whatever it is.
It's not even that long. We've got good at this now. Look, it's only an hour and 32 minutes.
Oh, we might have actually made it this far. Good. Still my favourite, John. Still my favourite.
So anyway, thanks for listening. And
good luck, everybody. Take care of each
other. Take care of yourself and each other. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.